When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Wait, wait, wait. Before we start, just want to make sure we're clear here. While this podcast talks about sobriety, mental health, and addiction, it is not meant to replace professional medical advice. Welcome to Sisters in Sobriety.
I'm Kathleen.
And I'm Sonia.
And we're ex-sisters-in-law, brought together in marriage and bonded through our sobriety journey.
Join us as we talk sobriety, addiction, and everything in between. You're in for quite a ride. And our Substack is buzzing with amazing content, from creative mocktail recipes to insightful courses and reflective exercises. There is something for everyone. Don't miss out. It's a great way to add some extra joy and depth to your journey. Check it out. Welcome to another episode of Sisters in Sobriety. Today, we're thrilled to have a special guest with us, Lorena Christine. She's a remarkable voice in the world of personal transformation. Not only is she a podcast host, but also a mentor, motivational speaker, and coach dedicated to helping people break free of their limiting beliefs, manifest abundance, and step into their true purpose.
Through her work, she empowers others to overcome obstacles like the Good Girl Act, perfectionism, and self-sabotage, guiding them towards alignment and authenticity. Her journey through sobriety has been nothing short of inspiring, and today she'll share her insights on topics ranging from the law of assumption, the law of attraction, to the importance of nourishing our bodies through movement, breathwork, and mindful routines. Let's dive into her story, her podcast, and the incredible work she does to help others transform their lives. Welcome!
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here, and thank you so much for such an amazing intro.
So let's start off with, can you share your journey to sobriety and how it has shaped your life?
Yeah, amazing. Oh my gosh. I'm like, where do we start? It's such a journey. So I guess what kind of started it is I grew up with alcohol being present in my family. I saw people drinking was the norm. And I grew up with that same notion. So in college, drinking was quite normal, started drinking quite young. And I didn't really know any different. And I didn't really realize how much I was drinking, in a sense, until I think a few years ago when I started really realizing that it wasn't really serving me anymore. I was noticing that I was using wine as a crutch for emotion when I was having a hard time. It was turning from that fun aspect of going out with people and drinking then to it started becoming a little bit more of like, okay, I've had a bad day, a little bit more wine here. And I really noticed it as well. Like, I'm sure many people during lockdown, that's when I really started noticing the patterns of drinking, you know, when you're forced to be inside more and that as well. So I started questioning things a little bit more around that time. And it wasn't until, so I've just hit my 1 year mark recently, actually. So I'm about 15 months now. And it's been just over 2 years of this sober, curious journey. So I would say it was a few months before, I would say probably January 2022. I really started looking at, okay, something's got to change. I was in denial a bit. But it's a big change, I think, when you're like, okay, I need to like actually admit this about myself, that things are not going right. You know, I need to really reevaluate my relationship with alcohol. And also there's like this identity around, who am I going to be if I actually completely give up alcohol, right? Am I going to be boring? The people I hang out with, because I was the wine girl. Like, everyone knew me as like, loves her wine. So that was a big shift for me. So I started small. I think in January 2021, actually, I did my first 30-day sober January, dry January. And yeah, it really went well. And I felt amazing. But I was excited to get back into the drinking. I was like, okay, I've done my 30 days. Time to go back in. And I remember someone said to me at the time, they're like, when are you going to stop being so boring? And when are you going to drink again? And wow, that was a really eye-opener, yeah, of like how much people are brainwashed into,
yes,
this romanticized way around alcohol. So yeah, it was about a year later. I'd say it was February 2022. I really started questioning things. And it wasn't until June 2022 that I actually decided to go again, dabble into the 30 days, and then I went longer. I went 3 months. I went longer. And that year, I think I hardly drank at all, maybe just a few times. And then last May 2023, I decided to go all in. And I was like, these patterns that I have, because I'm an all or nothing kind of person. Mm-hmm. And that definitely showed up in my drinking as well. And, you know, I was never a one glass kind of person. It could start that way. But then within a month, I noticed patterns were picking back up. And I just said, what is the point of this? It's not making me happy. It's affecting my mindset. It was making me feel really negative, really down, slightly depressed. It was affecting my business as well. I felt like I wasn't able to get ahead in my business with that creativity and, you know, just having, I was tired on a night out and all these kind of things. So I just decided, as someone who is really into wellness, who talks about this all the time, I felt like that was one missing piece of fully embodying that. And yeah, once I gave it up fully, like, it was just the best choice. I've never felt better. I definitely will say there were challenges along the way. You know, it's not this easy. All of a sudden you're joyous and happy. Like, I had a bit of a dark night of the soul. I had to look at a lot of old patterns that I had, emotions, limiting beliefs that I'd never really dealt with because of alcohol, right? So I definitely went through a phase of self-isolation for a few months where I really went inward, did a lot of inner healing work, which I really needed, and a lot of healing. And yeah, through that process, I would say, like, now after 1 year, I really feel like I'm in this place of feeling grounded, of feeling confident in this identity as someone who just doesn't drink now, and really owning it. Where for a while I was still like, is this something I want to continue for the long term? What does this look like? Where now I'm like, you know what? I have never felt better. I feel amazing. I've got so much energy. There's no negatives behind it. And yeah, just really owning it. And it's something that I just feel so grateful that I've been able to bring into my life. And it's something that I want more people to know about as well, that like there is so much joy and happiness on the other side of it as well. And there's mm-hmm. no downside to it.
I was the same way, where I didn't know what was my identity without alcohol. Yeah. And also, yeah, just making that decision. Other than that, how did you shift the way you socialized? And was that a challenge, like, in early sobriety?
You know what? It was, in a way, and it wasn't. Because I think, because I had just moved to Scotland, actually, at the time, not long before that. I would say, had I done it but earlier, it would have been. Because when I was living in London, I was hanging out with a lot of people who were much more in a drinking environment. So I think that probably had a lot of impact on why I didn't do it sooner. But when I was moved up to Scotland and I was still new and meeting people, there was a lot more space to be, who am I? Who do I want to show up as? So I was still meeting people and going out for drinks, but I had more friends who were in that space of not drinking so much. And I actually realized when I stopped drinking that I thought everyone was drinking around the same amount as I was, but that was just, I realized how much I was drinking more than people when I stopped. So yeah, I'm a very social, outgoing person. So I was like, great, how can I make the most of this? So I actually started a group in Edinburgh when I had just moved there, around women who were more into wellness activities. I was like, guys, this is what I'm doing. I want to meet people who want to do different activities, because I think a lot of people are scared to take alcohol out of their lives because they're like, what am I going to do for fun? But actually, there are so many incredible things to do for fun that don't involve alcohol, right? And you really get to decide, I think, what do I actually like doing? What are the things that I really love doing that don't involve going to a bar, that don't involve going out and to a party and drinking? Or so it's really a great self-exploration time as well, I think.
How did your perspective on life change when you stopped drinking?
Oh, that's such a good question. I think that I really saw how twisted that we've all been brainwashed into thinking that alcohol is this thing we need. And I went deep into all the sobriety books and the alcohol free books as well, which were so great. And I'm so glad I read them, because it really helped to along the journey. But, you know, it talks about how alcohol is the one drug that people actually look at you funny if you're like, no, I don't do it. Well, if you say you don't smoke, no one's like, why? Right. Or if you don't do cocaine, for instance, they're like, why? It's like, but, and yeah, so I think that was really an interesting shift. And I think just realizing how much better I felt, noticing my skin cleared up, my energy levels, how the biggest one I noticed for me was anxiety. So I always thought that I was someone who struggled with anxiety. I thought I just had general anxiety disorder. I used to struggle sometimes with panic attacks when I was in a stressful 9-to-5. And when I got rid of alcohol, I'd say after a month and a half, I was just like, I still get anxiety, of course, but it's more because there's a legit reason behind it. So that was probably one of my biggest realizations. And now that's instilled that thing of like, you know what? Why would I go back to that? Why would I put myself through that feeling just for a bit of perceived fun or to have a drink or anything like that? So that's been, I think, one of the biggest changes is seeing all the positive wellness benefits from it. Hugely.
Yeah. So what role did manifesting play in your recovery process?
I would say that my manifestation game definitely went up because we manifest from a place of self-belief, self-worth, also our vibration, our emotions, and alcohol really brings you down, right? It's a lower vibrational thing. Mm-hmm. And it can make you feel down. It can make you feel a bit depressed. It can make you feel not confident as well, because a lot of people also drink to feel confident when they're in social settings, right? And when I noticed that alcohol was gone and I was really rebuilding myself, once I found my feet and really stepped into this identity of who it is, my confidence went up, my self-worth went up. I was feeling good all the time. It was just easy to naturally get into this high state where I was like, oh, okay, this is normal. I don't need like something to bring me up that essentially just brings you down later. So yeah, I feel like I just became a lot more like magnetic in that sense of vibrating at a much higher rate and really feeling into that worthiness of like, no, I'm worthy around having the desires that I want to have.
So you mentioned when you stopped drinking, a lot of your limiting beliefs came up. How did you overcome those?
Yeah. So like I said, I think that's something that a lot of people, or is not talked about enough, is that those emotions can come up, things that maybe you haven't dealt with in the past, because a lot of people do drink or maybe don't even realize they're doing it, but to suppress certain emotions, right? There's discomfort.
Yeah.
We're not processing our emotions. We're not taught to do that, right? Some people, whether it's like, it could be shopping, it could be eating, overeating, or it's like a distraction. So alcohol is that for some people. And that's how it was for me as well. So when I pulled alcohol away, there was all these things around, okay, I really need to start looking. Why do I feel that way? What does that come to? So yeah, I did a lot of deeper like shadow work, inner work as well. Mm-hmm. And it really helped me to move through and bring awareness and consciousness to those limiting beliefs, understanding them, having compassion for that inner child part of myself, and start to rework through those as well. So that looked like a lot of journaling, self-reflection, a lot of doing like guided hypnosis as well, just doing different visualizations and just having a lot of meditation and a lot of patience and self-love. That was a really big one, because honoring yourself, saying I'm going through this transition, I'm trying to become better. But like, it's really about integrating the darker side of the shadow side of yourself, right? And working through that, and also that higher self, and bringing them together. So really honoring and integrating those parts has been a huge thing as well.
So, Lorena, in what ways did sobriety let you step more into your purpose? So what were you doing before, and then what changed?
I think, like I said, because when I was drinking, I think there was a big part of me that had a lot of shame around it. Mm-hmm. And using that as a coping mechanism, in a sense, to deal with my emotions or had that part of myself. And I think there was maybe lack of confidence in myself in certain areas. So drinking definitely brought that up. And when I got rid of alcohol, it was, you're really in a state of like raw. You're like, you're vulnerable, you're raw. You're like, okay, who am I, right, without this? And it's a lot of inward reflection. So through that time, I really was able to build that self-love and build up my self-worth. And I think also when you, especially when I hit those big milestones, 3 months, 6 months, 1 year, like that's when I was like, you know what? I have done it. Like I felt so good on myself in the 1 year that really built that self-worth and that confidence. Cause I was like, I'm showing myself that I'm worth it. And I used to actually smoke for quite a few years as well. I quit smoking 5 or 6 years ago now. So knowing that, like, I've made these huge like shifts in my own health and reality around quitting smoking, quitting drinking, all these things that used to really unserve me. And that built so much confidence and instilling that, hey, I'm worth it. Like I'm doing these things for myself. So that allowed me to really, I feel like, step further into my purpose and power, because I've gone through these transformations around overcoming limiting beliefs or maybe not feeling good enough in certain ways or healing from certain emotions, that it really comes into the work that I do now. And I really felt so much more embodied in that wellness aspect and being that an embodiment of the work that I do and preaching this, like, you know, really love yourself on all areas and heal holistically in that way as well.
There's such a connection between sobriety and self-alignment. So I'm wondering if you can can talk about that a little bit. Like, what are some of the signs that someone is out of alignment with their true purpose?
Oh my gosh, there's so many. So I think a big one, definitely like from an alcohol perspective, is that need to feel like you're escaping something, right? Maybe if you're in a certain 9-to-5 or a career that doesn't feel aligned and you know that you're meant for more, you have this calling, this inkling inside of you that you want to dive deeper into something else, but you're just not quite sure how to do it. You might have this desire to escape. And yeah, alcohol can be used as this way of moving through these uncomfortable emotions, ignoring, suppressing them, pushing them down. So that's really a big one. And just feeling like you're going through the motions all the time, feeling like there's something missing from your life, feeling like, or seeing someone else do something that really you're like, I want to do that. Or there's something you really admire about someone who's maybe like in their purpose, in their happiness, they're shining. And like, maybe you feel a sense of jealousy or envy. That is also translating into from a state of fear to love, that that's something that's available for you as well. And that's a sign that your soul is showing you, hey, that's something that I want to do. There's a reason you're seeing that, but it's what you do with it as well, right? So it's like taking that action and that step forward. But yeah, I think just this feeling of disconnection, feeling like you know that something's off, but you're not listening and you keep distracting yourself and pushing it down. And eventually what happens is you can go through like a breakdown in a sense, you know, it can go through what feels like a rock bottom, because from a manifestation standpoint, the universe is always trying to show us where we want to be, what's meant for us, right? But if we're not listening, eventually it's going to get louder and louder. So if you know that you want to leave your job, for instance, or make a big life change or leave a relationship, it might look like getting fired, losing your job, right? It might look like that person leaving you or losing your home or something crazy, which feels like a huge devastating thing. But you can look at it as like, you wanted this, you weren't moving fast enough, so the universe is pushing you to move, right? It's like the cosmic 2x4 comes in and hits you over the head very loud.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. I think we've definitely experienced that
we've
over
had
here.
The cosmic 2x4.
We've had that. How would someone ensure that someone's living in their in alignment with their values and beliefs?
Yeah, so there's quite a few different ways you can do that. And like, I just want to share first that your purpose, your values, your beliefs can constantly change, right? So it's not like one thing needs to necessarily be your purpose. Your purpose doesn't also need to be your job. It can also be maybe your service to volunteering or helping people. Like, it's really finding what brings you joy. But I would say first starting around clarity is essentially the first step and so important. But really understanding like what brings your emotions guide you to things, right? So for instance, with alcohol, if we're suppressing our emotions and pushing them all down, we're really disconnected from our true self in that way. When you remove that, when you remove everything, when you can follow your joy, follow your emotions, when something feels out of alignment, it's not going to feel good, right? It's connecting with your intuition. When you know something's lighting you up and you just feel the sense of happiness and joy and inner fulfillment, that's a sign you're on the right direction, right? So really connecting with that as well is really, really important. And knowing yourself is going to be so key here. Knowing your values, right? What are you available for? What are you not available for? What do you value in relationship, in a job, in where you're living, right? When you have that, your values and what's like a hell yes and a hell no, then you can really stay in alignment with that. And one thing, for instance, that I do, I call it the authentic soul code that I work with clients when I start, is that's one of the first things we do. It goes back to exploring things. What did you love as a child? What brings you joy? You know, really getting to know yourself. So then we come up with a few words and it's like, what are these words to you? And if something doesn't align with that, then it's just a no. You don't have to stick around and be like, well, maybe, because we can get so bombarded with all these outside messages from other people, from our families, from cultures, all these different things that we think we should be doing something. But it's remove all the shoulds. What do you authentically want deep down? And when you know that, it becomes so much easier to create that life in alignment with your deeper purpose, with your values, and something that you love doing, and it brings so much joy and fulfillment.
So, okay, so let's switch gears a little bit and talk about more about manifesting specifically, which I'm so excited about. So how do you define manifesting, and what does it mean to you?
Ooh, that's a really good question. I mean, we're always manifesting, right? Like, everybody is manifesting, and everyone has the ability to manifest. So just take a look at your current reality. We've manifested that. Manifesting is really, it's really creating a reality based on your thoughts, your beliefs, your emotions, your actions. Mm-hmm. And when we know how to bring that into alignment and we understand how manifestation works, then we can really start to co-create the reality that we desire, right? We can really create this incredible reality for ourselves. So when we're out of alignment or we're not knowing how manifestation works, we can actually fall victim to being very reactive to our environment, thinking that like life is happening to me. But when you can switch that and say life is happening for me and start co-creating from this way of empowerment, then you can really, really start to work and notice signs and things happening and notice, okay, well, what's out of alignment? How do I bring that back in? And working with your energy and your beliefs as well. That's really, really powerful.
I really see that a lot with clients where they're coming from a place of lack. So it'll be like, oh, this happened to me again, or all these bad things keep happening to me. And there's, I think, room, at least I'm a therapist, so there's room to hold space for that. But then also it's like, well, and I love that, why is it happening for you? Is it happening for you? And I'm definitely of the mind that I don't always think, this is my personal view, that everything happens for a reason, but I actually do think everything happens for a lesson. So and the reason can be much bigger, right? Like it could be that the lesson could be there. But I think I love manifestation so much. I think it's such an amazing practice. What do you have a personal story of yourself of manifestation that you can share? Like that manifestation played a key role in?
Yeah. I think so many. I'm trying to think of one specifically. Yeah, like manifesting is really a way of being and living, right? It's like Wick said, we're constantly doing it. It's a practice that you can really get better and better at. And yeah, exactly as you said, it's a lesson. Like you can look at it as like the universe is always trying to come at us with love. So if there's something that's out of alignment, we need to learn a lesson. It's coming because it's trying to help us step into our most powerful selves as well. But yeah, so I would say one of the things that was like what I really noticed that I manifested was back in 2016. That's really when I was going through quite a struggle time. I was really living out of alignment. I was trying to climb the corporate ladder in events planning in Toronto, and nothing was really going right. I just felt like I was constantly pushing, constantly hustling, working long hours. I was trying to like date. I think my aunt had just passed away. I just got dumped by another guy that I was really liking. And I just felt so lost. I was like, what am I doing with my life? I just turned 30 as well. On the outside, it looked like I was living the Sex in the City Canadian version, living in the city, working at a big high consultancy firm. But I was feeling so lost, and I'd never been feeling unhappier. And I was really drinking a lot then. And I decided, you know what? Enough is enough. And I had this like what felt like a rock bottom moment, but was a really empowered state. I decided to quit my job. I like saved up for months. I quit my job. I got a one-way ticket to Australia, and I decided to do the whole backpacker thing at the age of 30. And I was like, I'm going for it. I'm doing it. And I got a lot of like pushback from people being like, you should be like, this is the height of your career. You should be like marriage, kid, like all this stuff. And I was like, no, I'm living what I want to be doing. And everything I had been manifesting happened like that. I literally got this incredible job opportunity in Australia, working in events as well, but I was traveling. I got to work remotely from Bali. I was making more money than I had ever made before. I was traveling, and yeah, it was incredible. It was literally like the type of role I was looking to call in. I met someone I was looking to call in, a partner. I wanted to do travel with them. I met my ex now, but at the time we were together and we did a big road trip around Australia. We moved in together. We had this awesome relationship, and I manifested all these friends and community I was looking for, and just life had just never felt better. So that was like really, it was just showing that I was so out of alignment, and I just hit this rock bottom, took a leap on myself into the unknown, trusted everything was going to work out, and literally everything I was manifesting did. And then another example would be actually when I moved to the UK. I'd come back to Toronto after being 2 years abroad in Australia and New Zealand. And I was like, no, this isn't right for me. I felt like I'd gone back into my old life. I was like, I want to be abroad. I want to travel. That's something that was really important to me, is living this maybe non-traditional lifestyle. And when I was moving to the UK, I had to save up quite a lot of money for a visa. Also, Canadian dollars to pounds, there's not much that transfers that way. So I had to save up a big amount of money for my visa to make the move. And I was like looking realistically, I was like, this is going to take me a certain amount of time. I thought it was going to take me a year to save up my goal. And I was like, that was really budgeting as well. And I did it in like 6.5-7 months. And I was just so visualizing every day. I was visualizing the money coming in every day. I was visualizing being in the UK, hitting my goal, and like just unexpected money was coming in all these different ways and forms, extra money coming back from taxes, or oh, I got like a 10K raise at my job all of a sudden. Out of nowhere, like it was just amazing, but I was so in alignment, and I was like visualizing in my head every day being in that, and knew it was going to happen. So That's another really great example of manifesting.
Those are really great examples. Yeah.
I'm going to try that later.
I know.
Can you explain, Laura, what the law of assumption is and how it differs or how it's similar to the law of attraction?
Yeah. So law of attraction is really attracting in what we desire, right? Based on our thoughts, our beliefs, what we're vibrating at as well. And law of attraction is one that most people are really familiar with. Of course, manifestation goes so much deeper into that, right? We need to have the law of action with the law of attraction, the law of vibration. Like there's 12 universal laws in total. Law of assumption is similar to law of attraction in a sense as well, because we are attracting. But again, it's based on our beliefs and having that identity and that absolute conviction that it's on its way. It's a done deal, and showing up and acting delusional, you want to call it, right? But really getting into that, because if we're operating from a place of where we currently are, we're going to get the same results, right? If we want to shift our reality and have this completely like new reality that we're calling in, we need to get a little bit delusional sense and like really rewire our limiting beliefs, rewire our mindset. It's an internal game. And just, it's like assuming that it's already done. How would you show up? Neville Goddard is a really incredible, that's what his work is based on, is the law of assumption. I highly recommend diving into his work on YouTube. He's got great videos, but he really talks about that conviction and really just knowing it's like with absolute, without a doubt that it's done. Because as soon as we bring in doubt into our manifestation, it's going to kill your manifestation like that, right? That's why a lot of people don't manifest, because you're like, oh, of course I want $1 million. Of course I want a thriving business. Of course I want to meet the love of my life, right? But if you don't believe that it's possible for you, doesn't matter how much on a conscious level you do it, you're going to be like almost, it's like you're calling it in and then you're sending it back, right? There's this constant push-pull. So yeah, definitely really having that. So it's that law of assumption is just really getting into that absolute conviction and thinking, who do I need to be in order to have that? Who's that millionaire version of myself, right? Or who's that version of myself that's already in that relationship? How can I start showing up as if it's already happened now?
Did you know your actual age might not be the same as your biological age? That's right. It's not just about your birth date. Your body could be older or younger than you think. That's where True Diagnostic comes in. With their True Age test, you can discover your true biological age. Plus, get insights into things like your risk for heart disease, Alzheimer's, and even early mortality. And the best part? It's all done from the comfort of your own home. No prescriptions, no lab visits, just a simple test sent right to your door. By tracking your biological age, you can actually see how the changes you make, whether it's to your exercise, diet, or sleep, affect your health over time. It's about taking actionable steps to improve your well-being. Oh, and if you're wondering about high-profile people taking it seriously, Brian Johnson, the guy who's working on reversing aging, and I watched his documentary on Netflix, uses True Diagnostic to track his progress. Ready to find out your biological age? Right now, our listeners can get 20% off their entire order at truediagnostic.com by using the code CIS2025 at checkout. That's True Diagnostic, TRUDIAGNOSTIC.com. Just use the code SIS2025 to save 20%. Plus, if you subscribe, you'll get an additional 20% off the 50% discount. Discover your true age today.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
Yeah, it's like, I do this thing in terms of my manifestations as I think of it as if it's in the present moment. So I am so happy and grateful now that I am blah, blah, blah. So that's, I love that it's in the present moment.
Yeah, exactly. And with law of assumption as well and attracting our desires, and a big thing that a lot of people miss on is bringing your emotions into it. So it's not just visualizing and looking at pictures and writing it, but it's literally would you feel, right? Because we raise our vibration, our emotions, our energy, right? So when we're attracting that back to us, on what you focus on, right? Where attention goes, energy flows. So when we're focusing on that feeling and not just your emotion, but bring all of your senses into it. What would you see? What would you feel? What would you hear? What would you touch, right? Really like all the little details. And then when you could focus on that, and Abraham Hicks, if anyone's familiar with that work as well, they talk about focusing on that feeling for just 17 seconds, like just heightens it so much. And they're like, double that, triple that, keep going with it. Okay. And you're really just becoming so, so magnetic and attracting your desires in you a lot quicker.
So that's so interesting. Someone just told me that recently to, yeah, act as if it's actually happening.
Yeah.
And it's so interesting because, yeah, you're right. There is this moment of, I feel delusional, right? Like I feel like a crazy person acting like I have a boyfriend. That's a little nuts, you know?
Yeah. But it works.
Yeah. I get it. So, okay, when did you first discover that law of assumption?
I've been practicing manifestation now for probably, wow, maybe like 12 years, I would say. And I would say law of assumption didn't really come too much in my world until the past few years. That's been when I picked up in the past few years. I was really focused on law of attraction for a really long time. But yeah, law of assumption, that's when I've been bringing in. And what more recently, like so much more into my own practice, so much more into my work as well, because there's so much power in that. And that goes really into the embodiment practice as well. Because with my work, for instance, I focus really much on three core areas of mindset, energetics, and embodiment, which I really do believe you need all of those on a holistic level to become that version of yourself, to attract that in and to take that action and show up. And the identity is a key piece. That's almost like step one, is like getting clarity on, okay, what do you want? What do you want your life to look like? Now, who's the version of you that you need to be in order to have that, right? When you can get clear on that, then you start realizing, okay, well, what limiting beliefs are in the way of holding me back from that? How do I clear that? What does the version of me who already has that believe? What do they believe about themselves, about the world? And then you can start to embody that, right? Of course, it takes time, right? It's like not an overnight thing. Yeah. It's really identifying, how would they show up? Okay, well, maybe normally I skip my gym workouts, but that version of me goes to the gym regularly. So it's okay. That's something I need to do, right? And yeah, I mean, it's so interesting because it all ties together too. If you've ever read the book Atomic Habits as well, yeah, there talks about that, right? One of the biggest reasons why a lot of people don't stick to their goals or don't achieve their goals is because they haven't identified as someone who does that, right?
Yeah.
Same reason you see like the gyms at New Year just clear out after 2 weeks, right? Because they haven't identified as, I am someone who is fit and healthy,
yes,
regardless of your weight or where you're at. And I think this is why so many people, like I failed at quitting smoking so many times because I still didn't identify as a non-smoker. Yeah. I was like, okay, I'm going to try it. I'll see how it goes. But until I finally said, you know what, I am just someone who does not smoke anymore. And I shifted that identity and it was so much easier. So that's really going to be a key aspect when it comes to, yeah, that law of assumption, getting a bit delusional, acting as if and showing up that way regularly.
Yeah, it's so interesting. I remember when I was reading James Clear, I thought about that. Oh, like, so I think what I did that when I did eventually quit drinking was like, oh, I'm a non-drinker.
Mm-hmm.
Like I saw myself, yeah, as a non-drinker, like I had the life of a non-drinker. So I wasn't somebody who came home and opened a bottle of wine when I started making dinner. I was a non-drinker who did other health. I would go for a walk with my dog when I came home. And so, yeah, that's so interesting that like it works so well, right? And that I was same way with, I quit smoking 8. And yeah, it took, that was like the 50th time I had tried. And I think that was maybe the difference.
Yeah, I think it really is. It's like when you know, like you have that conviction, right? You're like, no, I'm just not this person anymore. This is who I am now. I start embodying. And I was talking about this with someone last night, actually, when you're shifting into this new identity. It's like trying on like a very uncomfortable, like new shirt. It's like, oh, this doesn't quite fit right. It's a bit odd and it feels unnatural. But over time, right, the more you do it, the more you do it, it just becomes part of who you are. And then you start to adopt new behaviors. You start to adopt new habits, right? A new personality. And I always say it's not about fake it till you make it or becoming someone you're not. It's really about becoming who you've always been and who you desire to be,
right?
And like letting go of all that paradigms, the shame, like the programming, all of that we picked up. It's like the onion layer peeling back, right? So it's just becoming back to who you truly authentically are.
Yeah, we'll talk about that more later, the sort of like fake it till you make it or act as if and how that plays into it, but go ahead.
Yeah, So what are some practical steps that people can take to start manifesting abundance in their lives?
Yeah, definitely. So abundance is always available to us. I want everyone to know that abundance is always around us. And it's really about stepping into the energy of abundance. And I'd say step one also is, what does abundance mean to you, right? Like, abundance is going to mean something different for everyone. It could mean financial abundance. It could be abundance of relationships, abundance of love, abundance of fulfillment, right? Or freedom or time. And really understanding, what does your abundant life look like first, right? Maybe that is like you want more financial abundance to XYZ experiences, right? And then also really looking at your self-worth, right? This is a huge one around, what do you feel worthy and deserving of having? Because a lot of people, what happens is they don't feel worthy or deserving of certain things. So they block that abundance from coming through. They might think, oh, someone else can have it, but I can't, or I don't feel deserving of that. So that's going to be a really, really big one. I don't feel good enough. So looking at that first and building that up, and then looking at like I said, abundance is always available. It's always around us. So nature is one of the most abundant things around, like just going out in nature, seeing the abundance. I've heard this analogy before and I really love it. It's like thinking about a tree doesn't question itself about how much space it's taking up or the air in the thing, or squirrels are not like saying, oh, I can only take a certain amount of nuts. So we sometimes think like, oh, I can't have that. That's too much. Or that's not available to me. But from a financial aspect, there's a lot around the energetics of money. You can almost look at it from this give and take, right? Breathing in, breathing out. We're not questioning how much breath we're taking. It's this constant flow of give and take. So that can be looking at financial abundance the same way. It's money flowing and abundant in the universe, right? Maybe you're paying someone and that's going to pay their rent. And then they're putting that money back into the food supply, right? For paying a farmer to pick groceries. So really looking at that abundance as well. And it could be like, looking in your fridge and be like, look at this abundance of food I have, or I'm so grateful for the abundance of this phone. Like we're having this podcast interview, right? Like over connection right now with internet. So like that is abundance, and really getting into abundant spaces. So if you're looking to call in more abundance, like what makes you feel abundant, right? Maybe it's beautiful clothes or going to work from a bougie coffee shop and treating yourself to a nice experience. Like regardless of wherever someone's at financially, there's so many different things you can do to start elevating that abundant experience as well, and getting more into that state of abundance from a mindset perspective as well, is looking at all the things like what's here for me, right? What's available for me, starting to think in limitless, infinite possibilities, right? Not like from this boxed in view as well, or the state of lack as well. And always looking at, of course, there's more than enough.
So I have a question, because I have heard this come up in like different things I've watched on abundance. And what if someone's like, manifestation, let's say for financial abundance, well, can't everyone just manifest winning the lottery? Why doesn't that happen?
Yeah, I think it's just being open to different possibilities and ways of things coming through. A lot of people get hung up on manifestation has to happen in a certain way. But one of the key things is the how, right? Because the universe will deliver things in so many different ways. And a big thing as well is like, limiting beliefs are going to be a huge thing. So you can almost look at it as like a thermostat, right? What is your thermostat of what you feel worthy of receiving or comfortable receiving in terms of financial abundance? Say it's here. You'll always hit that. If it goes up, what can happen is we can react, freak out, and we'll push it away, sabotage, right? Maybe that looks like spending all your money or feeling like it'll never happen again. So like I said, yeah, you spend it and then you don't reach that amount again. So from a lottery perspective, it's just being open to the different ways and that the money will come through as well. But interesting fact, what I was just talking about is like, you do see those stats of people who do win the lottery and then they're like even broker than they were maybe like years later because of that reason. They haven't identified and done the work, also expanding your nervous system, right? Of what you're capable and feel able to hold and hold that manifestation as well. Because I said from that sabotaging perspective, if we haven't expanded our own nervous system, our own identity of what we can manifest in, but also hold it, then that's going to also be of really importance as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that sounds like what we were talking about with alignment. So the lottery scenario. So how important is alignment to the process of manifestation?
100%. Like it's so important. Yeah, I actually was just talking about this yesterday on a live I did, was really understanding, are you manifesting from ego desires or from higher self desires? And ego desires are going to be coming from a place of lack as well, right? Competition, or I'm only going to feel worthy if I have that Ferrari or if I have that success in my business, versus what do you really want? That's coming from an abundant state, right? And then that's going to be much more in alignment as well. And you'll probably be familiar with this. You're saying you were listening to Regan Hellier. She talks a lot about surrendered manifestation, which so does Neville Goddard. And I love this because it's really when we're coming from this place of out of alignment, it's going to be that hustled manifestation. It could be like, I need to control this. I need to hustle. I need to make all this work. But that's coming from a state of lack because you're not trusting the universe. But when you're in this magnetic, abundant energy, you're in the state of trust. You're in the state of receiving. You're in the state of knowing. And that's going to be much more of the surrendered manifestation process.
Yeah, I do love that surrendered manifestation idea. Yeah. I just sent this to a friend of mine who is such a hustler. She is so, so into hustling for what her goals are. And I'm not saying that that's not like you have to work for your goals, but I was like, what would it be like if you surrendered and like you put it out there, you did work in alignment like with your values, and then you just saw how things unfolded?
Yeah.
It's such an interesting, it's like so different than the like push, 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 like that sort of manifestation. Yeah.
I used to do that type of manifestation, and so I'm still unlearning that kind of hustly vibe.
So many of us are because we have been programmed from that patriarchy view. Yeah. You need to work hard. You need to hustle. Money's hard to come by. You know, success, you have to work really hard. So, of course, we've all been doing that, thinking that that's one place like, I need to do this to make it work. Where if you're looking at it from like the energetic standpoint, it's the masculine and feminine, which we need both, but this is being very much in your masculine. So that's like really that push and hustle. Mm-hmm. But when we can lean back and be more in our feminine, where we become magnetic, if you're more with your feminine energy, living what feels good, trusting, surrender. Yeah.
Love it.
That's so interesting. Cause we see a intuitive coach and she's really about like, for me, like dropping into the feminine. She always says it like that. I need you to drop into the feminine a little bit more.
Yeah. Yeah. Amazing. Well, from a manifestation standpoint, so what this looks like is we get our the feminine energetics is going to be your intuition, right? This is going to be the feminine energy, leaning back, creating space, connecting with the intuition. You're going to get those higher self or source, whatever you want to call it, downloads. Being like, oh, this inspired idea, right? Okay, I want to do this in my business, or this could be, which could lead to like maybe a big financial gain, right? Something that's going to be really incredible, like a huge quantum leap. And the masculine will be taking the action, but it's aligned action. It's not this hustle forcing in all these different directions trying to see what works. It's like allowing space for that creativity to come through, trusting that if you're asking for something, if you're saying, universe, I want to call this in, this is something I'm like commanding, right? Yes, this is going to be a done deal. Knowing that, trusting that, like you might meet someone who's going to drop an idea in your head, or you might hear some song lyrics that can inspire this whole new idea. You just never know. And then it's like taking the action on that. Okay, well, what are some things I can do? And then also leaning back and be like, okay, I feel like I've done enough, right? Still enjoying life, still bringing in play, creativity. That's going to be more of the feminine as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I love this. We could talk forever. We could have like,
10
episodes on this. So can you discuss the good girl act
does that have something to do with the feminine?
The good girl act?
Yeah.
I think actually, well, I really am. Okay, so I'm going to finish the question. Mm-hmm. Let me ask the question. Mm. So can you discuss the good girl act and how it impacts one's ability to manifest their desires? So that's the question. But my therapist mind comes on, and I actually think the good girl act is born from the patriarchy, actually. But continue. You can answer this.
Yeah, definitely. There's so much. And I'm honestly going so much deeper in this recently as well, bringing much more feminine energy into my own life. And yeah, the good girl act is really like you said, based on the patriarchy as well. It's funny because it used to be the opposite. It used to be more the matriarchy, right? But I think women were seen as dangerous. We were powerful. So it was like taking that power away. And then I'm programmed to not be too much. Don't be too seen, right? The witch wound comes in a lot from this as well, right? But around like, don't speak up too much, or a lot of you see this a lot like within business as well, or within the workplace. A lot of women have like this witch wound of being scared to speak up or to be seen or to be fully heard and to be in their power, in their unapologetic authenticity, if you call it. And yeah, I feel like that good girl is like really, just like I said, being, you don't want to upset anyone. You don't want to like rock any boats or step on anyone's toes. So people pleasing really comes into this. And I was such a people pleaser for so long, and it It's that seeking external validation because you're like, oh, I want to know that I'm doing all these things for other people because then I'm a good person. Or if I just say yes to things, then I'm a good person. But like that, and to some extent, of course, it doesn't, you know, I think there's the, what's the other word I'm looking for? Like the darker side of it where it's like, be so unapologetic, have boundaries, don't say yes to anyone. Like it can almost be like too self-centered where of course we want to help people. I love doing things for other people when I want to, you know, when it feels good. That's the thing is I think, especially as women, we've been told we're so selfless and that makes us a good person where then you become burnt out and you become resentful because you're giving all this energy away to others. But we need to fill up our own cup first. That's why having time to do the things that bring you joy and fill up your energy, because then you're coming from a place of overflow when you're so lit up with your life already, when you're fulfilled or doing your purpose, whatever that it means for you. You can show up as the wife, the daughter, the best friend, or the coach or the business owner, however you want, from this place of feeling full. And that I think is really, really important. So it's getting rid of the shoulds, what you don't want to do, having boundaries, you know, and you don't need to necessarily be a bitch, like to have boundaries, right? You can still be a good, kind-hearted person, but it's knowing your worth and knowing what really is, really was important for you and a value for you as well. And I think when you have boundaries like that, people totally respect you, you know, in a sense. And you can get taken advantage of so much when you are in this good girl act. I can full on say that was me for many years. I was always like saying yes in business because I wanted to, or in career when I was in the 9-to-5, wanting to get ahead, right? Like, oh, I'll say yes to everything because then we're praised for working harder and self-sacrificing ourselves, right? We're told that that's the good thing to do, but nobody loves a burnt out. Think about it, business, like nobody wants like a burnt out coach. Like if I were to show up with no energy, just depleted for my clients, how much great work can I give them, right? Versus if I'm coming from this place of boundaries and filling up my own cup, like they're going to get so much better service from me as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I have a question that's very important to me, which is I sometimes have trouble recognizing the thing. And so how do I recognize and release limiting beliefs that are hindering that abundance? So how do I even realize that I have these hindering beliefs?
Yeah. So awareness is definitely step one. That's what I was bringing up. When you know what it is you want, okay, clarity on, you know, whatever that might be. And then starting to think about, okay, when we have that intention and that clarity with your manifestation, then it's a lot easier to like start to understand, okay, well, where's the resistance? If you're like looking to hit maybe a certain financial milestone in your business or call in a certain partnership, if you're like, ooh, that feels like there's a bit of resistance there. That's great. Start looking there. Okay, what's that resistance? Why do I maybe not believe that that's possible for me? Or why do I maybe not feel good enough or that that's available to me? Start looking at that and journaling certain questions to really dive deeper into that will be really, really good. And then starting to look at, I love Byron Katie's work, the four questions around, is this belief true?
It is true. Is this really true?
It's so powerful, those questions. And just being like, yeah, what does this belief? Like, how do I react when I believe this belief is true? And who would I be without this belief? What's this belief holding me back from is really, really powerful. And then being like, what new beliefs do I want to embody? What do I want to believe to be true? Journaling and taking action as well is one of the biggest ways to instill new beliefs. Because when you take the action, you're proving to yourself that you've already done it, right? You're like, okay, you're building that up. You're showing that to your subconscious as well. And also, you'll probably know this as well with the reticular activating system, right? That is really powerful as well. It's like, because that's showing us to what we believe based on our subconscious beliefs. So we start to shift that as well, then we'll start noticing our reality shifting as well.
Yeah.
Wait, so tell me what to journal tonight.
Okay. Like, what's, if you're open, what's something maybe that you're looking to manifest that you're noticing some limiting beliefs around?
There's two major things. One is like dating right now. Okay. And the other, okay. Yeah. Let's just do dating.
Fun. Love this topic. So what's the limiting beliefs coming up around dating?
I don't know. What are the limiting beliefs coming up around it?
Well, you have a deep-seated like that you're not good enough.
Yeah. But then I'm working on that.
You are, but that's still one of your limiting beliefs.
Okay, yeah. I think a lot of women have that. So let's do that.
Yeah, totally. So I would say like, where's that coming from? Like identifying, was there an incident from when you were younger or maybe a past dating experience that brought up that feeling of, oh, I'm not good enough to date that type of person? Yeah, definitely looking at like, where are those beliefs coming from? And then starting to be like, well, what do I want to believe instead, right? And building up that self-worth for yourself first, 100%. I would say be your own greatest love story first. Like, give yourself the love that you are looking for from that relationship first. And then you can show up in that place from a place of wholeness without needing that person's attention necessarily. They're like adding, they're like the cherry on top, right? They're like that extra bonus. Yeah, so that would be really good. And like just putting yourself in those situations as well and like understanding when triggers come up and starting to sit with it and be like, okay, like looking at it from a curious place, like triggers can be a really good thing because it's like, oh, this is showing me something I need to grow on. What's coming up for me here? How can I work through this? EFT tapping, my favorite. Absolutely. EFT tapping is incredible.
Okay, let's talk about EFT tapping then. And by the way, I am getting better at this. And so I realize when I'm not taking care of myself properly, I tend to be triggered more easily. But last night I thought, wait. Like this guy that I'm talking to, I'm like, wait, I'm the prize. Like this guy would be like lucky, not the other way around, to date me.
Mm-hmm. Show up with that energy. Like I am the prize, right? Why? And like one thing I love is switching that when people are like, oh, like, I don't know if I'm good enough for that. But why not me? Think about that. Like, of course this would happen to me. Of course I would attract that kind of person. Well, is that person good enough for me?
I'm like, wait. Like, this would be, like, this guy would be so lucky. Mm-hmm. Please.
Yeah. And then, like I said, EFT tapping is incredible. I use it every morning. I use it with a lot of the clients I work with. Emotional freedom technique. So really tapping on the belief, right? Like, even though I might not feel good enough for this relationship, I deeply and completely love, honor, and accept myself. And then you can say like all these feelings of unworthiness, like I choose to let it go. And then starting to turn it more into an empowered statement when you're tapping through the different points, because it's what I love about it is like you're acknowledging how you feel. You're not emotional bypassing or spiritual bypassing, right? Because if you're not like that toxic positivity, which no, a lot of people talk about that. Like that's ick. We're not in that area. Yeah. So really acknowledging how you feel, saying I still love and accept myself. I know how I feel. But I'm choosing something different. When you're saying I choose, that right there is an empowered statement. And when you're using positive affirmations, right, or subconscious mind loves positive affirmations in the present moment, right? I'm choosing a new, and even if it doesn't feel believable maybe at the time, you can say I'm choosing to feel this way instead. I am choosing a new belief versus just saying I am good enough. You're like, oh, I don't know if that resonates, because you want to use statements that resonate with you as well. And you say I'm choosing this new empowered belief. I'm choosing to feel good enough. And then using different techniques that way as well is really powerful.
Wow. Can you tell us a little bit more about EFT tapping?
Yeah. So EFT tapping is similar. You're working with different energy meridian points within the body, like acupuncture as well, right? So you're tapping through 9 points. Some people use different ones as well. But basically, you're tapping on the side of your hand here, like the karate chop, working at the top of your head, just above the eyebrows, and the glasses, it's hard to see, side of the eye, underneath your eye. And then on your, just below your nose, bring lipstick, you can do the side of the hand. And then your chin. And as well, you're doing then just on your collarbones. And then underneath by the bra strap. So you're going through all of those points and you're using an opening statement. So even though I feel XYZ this way, I deeply and completely love, honor, and accept myself. There's different variations. So with EFT, the great thing is there's not really a wrong way to do it, but it's acknowledging with an opening statement. And then you're going to be going into, you can even start to acknowledge like all of this feelings of anxiety or all of this worry, right? And you're just tapping through the points. The goal is to say you're at like a level, like between 0 and 10, how you're feeling. So maybe you're really anxious and you're at like an 8 out of 10, right? And 0 is like none. We want to be down a 0 to a 2. So tapping through the sequence as many times as you need to really get that feeling down, because you're working with the energy in the body. You're moving through that energy. You're working through the limiting beliefs as well. And as you're tapping on the point, it really helps to calm your nervous system as well and rewire your mindset that way.
That's so interesting. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be mindful of your time, but would you come back? Because we have like 100 more questions on our list.
I would love to. I can talk about this stuff all day. I would absolutely love to. Yeah.
Where can people find you?
They can find me on Instagram. That's where I spend a lot of my time. I'm at larina.christine on Instagram. And then I also have a podcast where I talk about all the things woo-woo, entrepreneurship, yes, manifestation, mindset, yeah, wellness. I have some incredible people coming on as well. And that's at the Unleash Your Radiance podcast on Spotify and Apple as well.
That's amazing. I will be checking that out today. I cannot wait. And I love your story, Lorena. I love all of the different elements you bring in. You're such a wealth of knowledge. And we really love your sobriety story, too. Yeah. It's incredible.
Thank you so much. It's been such a pleasure coming on. I've loved talking with both of you and hearing about your stories as well.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much for listening to Sisters in Sobriety. And we will see you next week.
This was Sisters in Sobriety.
Thank you for listening and being with us today.
If you want to learn more about sobriety and meet your community, find us at sistersinsobriety.substack.com.
Are you a sister in sobriety? Then reach out on social media. We'd love to hear from you.
If you're feeling generous, leave us 5 stars and a review and follow us wherever you listen.
You'll never miss an episode. Until next time.